Well, good morning, children. Hope you're all here to hear what we have to teach you from the Word of God. But before we get started, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all these children that are here, eager to hear a lesson from your Word. And I pray that you would give them open hearts and give me a ready tongue, Lord, to teach them and to show them your ways, Lord. And I pray you bless each of these children and help them to grow up in your fear and in your ways. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I have a lesson for you all this morning from the Bible. We're going to discuss this morning on being rich. Now, who can tell me what it means to be rich? Go ahead, Michael. Have lots of possessions. Good. Any other ideas? Yes. To have lots of money, to have anything you like. Okay. Any other ideas? That's good, what you said so far. Yes. To have a lot of money and not spend too much. Well, yeah, some spend a lot anyway, but even though they have it. How many of you children would like to be rich someday? Raise your hand. Some? Not too many? Well, when I was a little boy, about this big, like many of you are, my family went through some hard times. We were poor. And I remember being so poor that we couldn't really afford to heat the whole house. So we just slept downstairs and because it was too cold to heat up, to sleep upstairs. My dad couldn't find a job. He looked and looked, but it was a difficult time and there was just, he had a hard time. I just had a little piggy bank with a few coins in it. But I remember looking at a catalog or a little flyer and seeing all the different things I could buy if I had $10. Like, my, if I would have $10, that would be really neat. And I think I wanted to be rich someday. Deep down in my heart, I wanted to have some money. Well, God had to teach me some lessons. And I want to share some of those lessons with you. And I want to show you what God has to say about being rich. But first of all, let's look at a little object lesson here. Who can tell me what this is? Yes. A dollar bill. Okay. What is this? You. $10 bill. Okay. Which one's worth more, this one or this one? Back there. $10 bill. Okay. What do we have here? Yes. $20 bill. Okay. Which one's worth more, this one or this one? This one. How many think it's this one? Most of you, how many think it's this one? Well, that was a trick question. This one is actually worth more. You know why? This one isn't real. You know, children, it's a lot like that with money. We think this looks like it's worth a lot of money, and this is something that's very valuable, and this doesn't look like much. But often what God says is worth a lot, and what we think is worth a lot, is two different things. So, let's look at what the Bible has to say about what true riches are. You know, it is good to desire to be rich if you want to be rich the way God says you're rich. Let's see what the Bible has to say about riches. There's a verse in Proverbs 13:7 that says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." It's sort of like this dollar bill. He has lots of these, but they're not real. Now, maybe they are real as far as $20 bills goes, but when it comes to what God says is true riches, he doesn't have any of that. That's what God is saying here. So, if we have lots of money, but don't have the true riches that God wants us to have, are we rich? Not really. Maybe we're rich. Maybe we think we're rich. Maybe our neighbors think we're rich, and we have lots of good things and have everything easy for us, but God says we're poor. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about what is true riches. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, that says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, what is God saying there that makes us rich? Great gain is the same thing as a lot of things or possessions. What is it that God's talking about there? Were you listening? What did it say? Artem. Godliness is the one thing. That's right. And there's another thing there too. Yes. Contentment. Right. So, suppose you have all the toys you want, and you have a big yard to play in, and your dad has lots of money, and he gives you everything you want, but yet you're grouchy, and you're unhappy, and you're fighting with your brothers. And then your neighbor, he might not have much. Maybe he just has a few simple toys. But he's happy, and he's content, and he enjoys life. Which one is actually richer? Yes. The poorer one. It looks like he's poor, but he's actually rich. It's because God says, if you're content, you are wealthy, even if you don't have much. Okay, let's see what else the Bible has to say is rich. There's a verse in Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." What does that verse say is true riches? Yes. Very good. He's saying that it's good to be known for your contentment than to have a lot of money. A good name. What does it mean to have a good name? He explained one thing. Does anybody have any other ideas what it means to have a good name? Yes. To have a good reputation. Yes. Now, we don't want to try to impress people just so that everybody thinks we're somebody special. But we shouldn't have a good reputation. It's right to have a good reputation. It doesn't mean that because maybe your name is Peter and his name is John, that Peter's a better name than John. That's not what it's talking about. It's not saying that, oh, my name is Julian, your name is just Mary. No, that's not what it means. It means how people think of you. That's what it's talking about. Okay? Now, let's say this young man over here says, is known to be mean and nasty to people and makes fun of others, and people just don't like him. And then there's someone over here who's friendly, and he shares his toys, or he shares whatever he has with others, and he's nice to others. Which one is richer? Who can tell me? Yes. The one who shares and who's nice, right. Even if the one who's nasty has lots of things and has everything he wants, he has a brand new bicycle, and he often goes out to eat and all these things, he's not really richer, is he? No, the other one who is friendly and happy is really the one that is really richer. Okay. There's some other verses we want to look at here. Proverbs, again, Proverbs has a lot to say about what is true riches, by the way. Proverbs 15, verse 16, it says this. Now, you listen closely. Tell me what is the true riches in this verse. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Which one is the richer one? Yes, back there. What was that again? The one with a little. What else does he have besides just a little? Yes. He has God? Okay, that's close. It says the fear of the Lord. Okay? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Does anybody have any ideas? Who can tell me what it means to fear the Lord? Does it mean to be afraid of God? Is that what it means? No? You don't think so? Yes. To love Him? Okay. That's good. Any other ideas? Yes. To be afraid to disobey? Okay. It's to realize that God is always watching you. And He is paying attention to you, and someday He will reward us according to what we do. And so, it's like when you are, when you're playing with your brothers, and your daddy is sitting there and watching you, are you as quick to be mean to your brother if your daddy is watching you? No? I don't think I would be anyway. Because he just might give us a spanking if we do the wrong thing. He's watching. Well, see, God is always watching. And if we always live realizing that God is watching, we are actually rich. It says it's better to have the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure, all kinds of things, that everything you could want, but then you're always having trouble. And you're always fighting. And you have all these good things, but you have trouble. It's like having this, but it's not really worth anything. Or just to have a little bit, but to have the fear of the Lord. This is more valuable. Okay. The next verse says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. What would a dinner of herbs be? Anybody have any ideas? You know what I think a dinner of herbs is? I think it's a pot of maybe spinach and green beans. How many of you like spinach? Some. Good. How many of you like green beans? A few more. Good. But that's all you have for lunch. If you just have spinach and green beans for lunch, how would you like that? Well, or would you rather have a big juicy hamburger or a big juicy steak? How many would rather have that? Well, I think I would too, but it says that it's better just to have spinach and green beans for lunch than to have a big juicy steak if you're going to be hating your brother, if you sit around the table but you just hate everybody else there. It's better just to have spinach and green beans but love everybody else that's there, right? Which one is richer? Which one is the $1 bill and which one's the 20? Who can tell me? Yes. That's right. A dinner of herbs, spinach and green beans is like having this because it's worth actually more, even though this looks like more. But at least you have love. And love is worth much more than hatred. So that is the true riches. You know, some people, they don't care if everybody else doesn't like them. Some people, they'll get money no matter what it costs. And that is not a good thing. You don't want to grow up to be that way. How many of you know the story of Zacchaeus? Let's look at that story. And I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing, but I want to read a little bit there in Luke 19. It says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was rich. Now, what kind of rich do you think he was? Do you think he was this kind of rich or this kind of rich? This one. Yeah, he had lots of money, but he wasn't really rich. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. And you know what the publicans usually did? It says he was a chief publican. They usually cheated the people that they charged taxes to. And they would charge more than what they were supposed to, and then they put the rest in their pocket. And that's why he was so rich. But what did Zacchaeus do? He was tired of his life. Probably everybody hated him, except maybe the other publicans. But most people in Jesus' day did not like publicans. They were bad people. So he had all this money, but nobody liked him. He was like that man that had the big steak, but hatred. He didn't have people loving him. So, anyway, he came to Jesus. He climbed up in the tree, and he wanted to see Jesus. He was looking for something different. And so he looked down from the tree and saw Jesus. And Jesus looked up to him and said, "You come down, because I'm going to have dinner with you." So that's what happened. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. And then Zacchaeus, he turned his heart. He turned his heart from all the riches, all the things he was pursuing that really didn't satisfy. They weren't real. And he turned to God. And he said, "Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor." He gave half his money away. And then he says, "If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation," if he cheated someone, he's going to give them back four times what he took from them. When he was all done with that, do you think he was still rich with money? Probably not. He probably didn't have hardly anything left. But was he really rich? Yes, he was, because he was going God's way, and God said he was rich. Even though he didn't have any money left anymore, not much, he gave most of it away, yet now he was truly rich. So children, I want you to remember that. As you grow older, maybe you'll have opportunity to earn some money, but remember that money doesn't satisfy. Money is not true riches. And when you die someday, you're going to leave it all here. If you're going to have true riches, we have to look into God's Word and see what the true riches are, that which is going to last forever. Okay, how many of you children know that song, "I'd Rather Be a Little One Climbing Up"? Okay, good. I really don't know that song very well, so I'm going to need you to help me and sing out nice and loud, because I don't know the words hardly at all. So, but I remember you singing it one time at another children's class, and so I like that song. I think it tells you the same thing that I was just trying to teach you this morning. Can someone help me with that? Get it started?
"I'd rather be a little one climbing up than a big one tumbling down. I'd rather be a junior with a pretty smile than a senior with a frown. I'd rather be poor and love the Lord and rich and lose my crown. I'd rather be a
Very good. God bless you, children. You're dismissed.
Well, good morning, children. How are you all this morning?
Good.
So, maybe you're wondering why two of my sons are sitting up front there. They're going to help us out a little bit. They'd probably rather be sitting where you are. I have a few questions for you, first of all. Does anybody have any? Everybody can raise your hand. Try raising your hand here. Raise your hand here. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty good. Okay. I'm going to ask you a few questions here. Let's see. How much of the New Testament that you're familiar with here? What was the first thing that the Apostle Peter told the Israelites to do when they realized that Jesus was Lord? Who can tell me? Do you know? Yeah, he preached to them, and when he preached to them, all of a sudden, in their heart, they knew that Jesus was Lord. And they were struck deep at the heart. But what did he tell them to do then? Who can tell me? Got you stumped. Okay, let's see. This is the same question, or the same answer then. What was the first message that Jesus preached? Who can tell me that?
Salvation.
No. Oh, no. Almost. Yeah. No. Yes. Repent. That's right. And that's also what Peter told them to do. To repent. I want to share a little bit this morning on repentance. Okay. I've got a third question for you. What was the message that John the Baptist preached when he came before Jesus? Repentance. That's right. Well, do you think it's very important for us in the church to preach that message today? Do you think so? Okay, that's good. Did you know that it seems that most of the churches in our land today have stopped preaching that message? Did you know that? That's a very sad thing. But what does repentance mean? Who could tell me? Okay. Well, we're going to look at a little story in Matthew, and then I'll ask you again. Okay. We want to read a little story here from Matthew chapter 21. And it's the Lord, as He had the Word of God written, He put a question at the beginning of this story. And Jesus spoke these words and told this story, but He started with a question. And the question is, what think ye? So when we get done, I want to ask you, what think ye? Okay? As we look at this story, I want to ask you what you think about it. Okay? So, in the story, there are two sons and a man. And I'm the man, and there's my two sons. Okay? So, now let's read the story and see how it goes. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said,
"I will not."
Uh-oh. That's not good, is it? Well, what's it say next? But afterward, now listen, okay. But afterward, he repented. Do you hear that? Okay. And he went. Okay. Well, that got a little better, didn't it? It didn't sound too good at first, did it? I wonder if any of you ever do that when you're sent to do something. Do you ever say, "I will not"? Now, if I asked you to raise your hands, you might not want to. Okay, let's keep going with our story. And he came to the second and said, "Likewise, son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said,
"I go, sir."
But now the scripture says that he went not. Okay. Now we get to the "what think ye." Okay. He went not. Now the question is, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one of the sons did the will of the father? Okay, the first did. But he said no, didn't he? How is it that he did the will of the father? How do you know? Because of the outcome of the story. That's right. He went, right? Okay. And the other one here, well, it sounded good. "I go, sir," he said. Let's see. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Okay. Is the same one that did the will of the Father, is he the same one that answered rightly? Is he the same one that answered rightly? No. He says no. Okay. That's right. Now, let's talk about the first son. Okay. You can go ahead and sit down, James. Thank you. Let's talk about the first son a minute. Okay, the first son, He said, I will not, right? Okay. Who can tell me when he repented? Who could tell me when he repented? Yes. Okay. After he said he wouldn't go, and how do you know he repented? Yes? Because he got up and he went, right? Well, what's the repenting part of that? Okay. Here's how it went. He said, I will not. And then he sat there and he thought about it a little bit and he knew what he did was wrong, right? Okay. So as he sat there and he thought about it and he realized that he had done wrong, then he thought, well, I should really get up and go obey, right? Right? And so that was when he repented. He repented when he changed his direction, right? When he changed what he was doing. Okay, so now we've got a couple of questions on that. Okay, does repentance mean saying you're sorry? No. No, that's right. I see some heads shaking. It's not just that. Sometimes when you repent in your heart, you do say you're sorry. How about if you cry? You repent with tears. Or you say you're sorry with tears. Is that all repentance is? No. How about if you say, I'll try harder next time? Does that get everything? No. How about if you say, I'll do better next time? No. Okay. See, repentance is turning and obeying. Okay. So, let's think about a couple times when you need to repent. Okay? Who has an idea? When in your life do you find that you need to repent? Okay? Some of you older ones help me out here. Okay? Yeah. When you lie. And you think about it and you know you said something that you shouldn't have said. It's not true. And then you realize, I need to go talk to Mommy and Daddy and say, I lied. I'm sorry. And here's what I really did. Here's what really happened. And you turn around and you go the other way and you go and make it right. Okay? When's another time that children need to repent? Mm-hmm. When they're naughty. That's right. Maybe when you hurt your brother or your sister. Okay? But then repentance doesn't just mean I don't do it once. Or I say that I'm sorry. Again, repentance means that I'm going to change what I'm doing. Okay? Now, there is another time in your life where repentance comes in, and that's when your parents show you that you did something wrong. Okay? Then that's a time to turn and do what they are asking you to do, whatever it is. Maybe you were asked to take the trash out, and you didn't do it, and they say, son or daughter, did you take the trash out? And you say, no, I didn't. And they say, okay, well, you need to go do it now, okay? And so when you obey, then you are repenting. Okay, now, another time will come in your life when God will send His Spirit to show you that you've been doing wrong. And that's a time for repentance too. And that's where the teaching in the church comes in. Okay, and I want to give you a charge this morning. I want you to remember this when you grow up. Could you all look up here at me, please? Okay, let's listen up. I want you all to remember this when you grow up. Because when you grow up, you will be adults. You'll be men and women in the church, and it will depend on you to remember that the church always needs to teach repentance. And that if ever the church is not teaching repentance, that there is something very wrong. Okay? So I want you to remember that as you grow up. You need to learn what repentance means in your life today. You turn from doing wrong and do right. But you also need to learn what it means as you grow older. Okay. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, we come before you this morning in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. God, we do plead with you, Father, that you would help us to learn what it means to be repenters, as the Christians are known in some parts of the world, as repenters. Father, we do pray, God, that you would help us. Help these children, Lord, to learn what it means to repent, to turn away from wrong things that they have done, Lord, and to do right. And we pray, Lord, for your church, both here and around the world, God, that you would stir up the teaching and the exercising of repentance. Lord, that we would not turn away from the basics of the gospel, Father, but that we would be able to stand up and to teach and to exercise ourselves in the practice of repentance. God, that all may know as we preach and as we live, Father, that we must turn away from sin and not continue therein. So Lord, we do thank you, God, for all of these children. We pray a blessing on them, Lord, and we look to you for the rest of the service. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back to your parents. Thank you.
Good morning, children. It's good to see you all this morning, all of you boys and girls. May the Lord bless you this day. How many of you know the song, the B-I-B-L-E? How many? Okay, most of you. All right, why don't we sing that song together to make sure we all know it the same way? Okay? All right, here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Very good. Okay, so we all know it pretty much the same. Let's do something a little bit different with it now, okay? What I'd like us to do is the very back row, you're the sixth row, you're the letter B, the first B, okay? The fifth row, you're the letter I, okay? The third or fourth row, you're the second letter B. Then the third row, you're the letter L. The second row, you're the letter E. And the first row, your Bible. Okay? And when we sing it this time, we're going to sing it like this. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. And the sixth row will shout out, B. And then the fifth row, I. B-L-E. And then you'll finish with Bible. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. I tell you what, let's each row practice their letter. Okay, sixth row, let me hear you say B real loud. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, you got to get louder than that. One, two, three. Oh, come on now. You can do it louder than that. One, two, three. Very good, that's better. Fifth row, let's hear you say I on the count of three. One, two, three.
I.
Very good. Let's see, fourth row, you're going to say B as well. One, two, three.
B.
Oh, everybody now, I need everybody. One, two, three.
B.
Okay, one more time. One, two, three.
B.
Okay, that's better. All right, third row, L. One, two, three.
L.
Oh, very good. Second row, you're going to say the letter E. One, two, three.
E.
You're very good. And the first row, let me hear you say Bible. One, two, three.
Bible.
Oh, now see, did you hear that? Okay, all right. All right, here we go. Is everybody ready? We're going to sing the song through, and at at the end, you each row says your letter. Okay, here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B
I B L E Bible.
All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I know, that's a little bit different for you this early in the morning, isn't it? All right, I want to give us a lesson this morning about the importance of knowing God's Word, the importance of the Bible. Okay? How many of you have ever it's been a windy day outside, you know, the wind's really been blowing and that sort of a thing. And maybe somebody opens the door and you weren't expecting it, but all of a sudden the wind comes rushing into your house. You know, and maybe there's some papers on a desk or a table and that sort of thing. What happens when that wind comes blowing into the house? What happens to all those papers? Yes. Right. The wind spills them onto the floor. The wind comes rushing in and all those papers go everywhere. Okay? Well, you know, the Bible tells us that there are winds of doctrines blowing. Okay, in this world, there's winds of doctrines blowing. Now, who knows what a doctrine is? Can someone raise your hand and tell me what a doctrine is? Yes. A belief. Yes, that's a good definition. It's an idea or a teaching that someone has about something, okay? A lot of times we talk in the church about doctrines of the church. It's what we teach one another from God's Word, about Jesus, about the Bible, those types of things. But you know, there are doctrines also out in the world. There are ideas or teachings that the people of the world have, and that's how they try to govern their lives, okay? And the Bible says that these are like winds. They can blow you around. They can push you around. And these winds are blowing. They go... They push you back and forth, back and forth. And we want to talk about those this morning. What happens to you if you're trying to live your life based on those kinds of doctrines? If your life is being buffeted by the winds of this world. Now, I have a little family here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them to stand up on this podium, but we will see if we can. My little girls were kind enough to make me some little figures here. Let me see if I can get them to stand up. There's a papa and a mama, a couple of children, a little boy and a little girl. Oops, excuse me. Ooh, look at that, she landed right side up. Okay, so here's this little family. Okay, now, the father and mother, when they were children, they didn't have the Bible in their home. And they grew up in the midst of all these winds, just trying to learn how to live their life. And they grew up and they got married. They had a couple of children. And as most of the people in the world, they just tried to live their lives based on the world's wisdom. And one of the things that they had in their home was a television. And I want you to know, the television, it's like a big wind tunnel in your house. You know, like I talked about the door opening up and the wind blows in. The television is that kind of a thing with doctrines or ideas. You turn that thing on and all of a sudden, you got the winds of the world's wisdom blowing right through your house. Now, you may not feel it, but you'll eventually see the effects of it. And they had books and magazines from the world, and pretty soon what's happening is they're living in the midst of these winds, and one of the winds, it's pushing on the mama and it's telling her that she needs to go out and have a career. She needs to leave her children at home or in daycare, that sort of a thing, and go out and make a name for herself, have this great career. And the father, he's got this wind blowing on him, and it says that he needs to spend as much time at his work and his job, and he needs to be as successful as he possibly can, not spend that much time with the family, just pursue his career. And the little girl, she gets this idea, this wind is blowing on her. It's telling her, well, the best thing she could do is just go to the mall and get her ears pierced, you know, something like that. And the little boy, he thinks, sports, this is the wind that's blowing on him. I'm going to pursue sports. I'm going to grow up and be a great sports athlete. And these winds are blowing on this family. And they're just blown away. And their life becomes a chaotic mess. They're just blown every direction. Now, can someone think of a passage in the Bible that talks about that? Maybe one of the Psalms that talks about that? Anybody familiar with a psalm? One of the psalms that talks about the wind blowing the ungodly away? Yes? You don't know it? Do you know it? You don't know which one it is? Yeah, that's right. It is in the Psalms. Well, how about Psalms chapter 1? It talks about the ungodly are like chaff that's blown by the wind. That light stuff. Yeah, he knew it here. Well, let's imagine now that this family... someone comes and tells them about Jesus, and they start getting interested in church, and they decide, we're going to be Christians. We're going to start going to church on a regular basis. And so here's our little family now. They're going to church, and they go every Sunday, and they hear a good message, you know, from the Bible. And I think, yeah, we should try to live that way, what the Bible is saying. But then they go home, and you know what? They still have these things from the world. They still have the television, these magazines, these books that they've been getting the world's wisdom from. And as soon as they turn that on, you know, the Word of God said to go this way, and all of a sudden they turn that television on, and whoosh, here comes that wind of the world's wisdom starts blowing in their lives again. And pretty soon they start getting ideas. The dad thinks, you know, I should go play golf every Saturday, no matter what. I need to play golf as much as possible. The wife thinks, you know, I just need to go and get my hair done all the time, you know. And the children, they think, you know, our parents, they don't really know what's going on. We're going to just live our own lives. And pretty soon, even though they're going to church on Sunday on a regular basis, they still got these winds blowing in their lives. And there they go again. Just like it happened before. Well, you know, the book of Ephesians says that God has given to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to train the people, to edify them, to build them up, so that the reason that we have these pastors and teachers in the church is so that we can all grow up. So that instead of being children that are blown about so easily by winds, we will all grow up and be like Jesus. Be strong and mature. So the pastor comes along and he starts talking to them about their lives and what they need to do. And they say, yeah, pastor, you know, we just can't seem to make this Christian life work. So the pastor tells them about James, where it says, you know, in James, God says in His Word that if you need wisdom, you just ask of God, and He will give it to you. But you have to ask in faith. And what James means by faith there is you have to be willing to obey whatever it is that God's going to tell you to do out of His Word. You have to be willing to obey it. And if you're not willing to obey, if you come to church and you think, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, and then you go home and you start listening to the world again, you become unstable. And that's what was happening to this poor family. They were going this way and then this way, just like the waves of the sea, up and down, and see, it causes you to fall over, just like that. So this pastor tells them that they need to get into God's Word and study God's Word. So they're going to get into God's Word. So the father gets into God's Word. He gets his wife into God's Word. Gets the children into God's Word. Just like this. And here's our family now. They're in God's Word. They're hearing the Word of God, but now they purpose to do the Word of God as well. And they've gotten rid of their television and their worldly influences, and they're really learning how to listen to God and obey. But now when they leave their home, sometimes they still encounter those winds of the world's wisdom, and those winds start blowing on them. Maybe they have to go out to the store or something else, and but look, are they falling over now? No? Here, you blow on them. You see. Okay. Yeah, see, nothing happens to them. They're in the Word of God. You can't blow them over. I'll tell you what. Let's see just how strong it is. On the count of three, I want all of you to blow, okay, and see if you can blow this family down, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Whoa! Okay. All right. Well, you blew me over, but look, our little family, they're still in the Word of God. God's Word held true for them. And it will hold true for you as well. And I want to emphasize that you can start now, at this age, learning God's Word and getting in God's Word. And like Brother Vernon just spoke to us a minute ago, that's part of how you learn to abide in Jesus. It's by having that Word in your heart. So, all right, let us finish by singing our song one more time. Can you sing it the way we learned it with the different rows? Okay, can we do that? All right, here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the
B-I-B-L-E, Bible.
Very good. May the Lord Jesus bless you, children. You may return to your families.
Good morning, children.
Good morning.
Can I have a volunteer who would like to pray for the children's lesson? Okay, I'll do it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our time here together. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that we can learn what your will is for our lives. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Okay, I brought... Kind of brought two lessons today. I wasn't sure which one you would rather have, so I'll let you pick one. The first one is about obeying your daddy, and the other is, I know we haven't had a story for a long time, the other is a story of when I was a little boy, just like you all. So all those who would like to hear the first one about the lesson about obeying daddy, raise your hand. Okay, the other one about when I was a little boy. You want that one? Okay. It's a little bit of a sad story, but I think we can learn a lesson. Maybe you can learn the lesson without going through the difficulty yourself. And so... But before we start, I would like to read a verse. It's in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 30. It says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedroom. For a bird of the air will come and carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen those birds that come and tell what you said? Have you ever seen those? What are they?
Copycat.
A what?
Copycat.
Copycat bird. Okay. What about... it says, that which has wings will tell what you did. Do you know what that is? Maybe that's how cell phones work. When your daddy talks on the cell phone, little birdies carry the voice. Is that what that means? You don't think? Okay, well, maybe we'll find out here as we go through the story. When I was a small boy, about 8 or 9 years old, who all is 8 or 9? Raise your hand. So it's kind of the older ones. Okay. We lived in a farm that had about 20 families. And so it was quite a few people around. And one of the houses, there was a big house on the place that was, nobody was living in it. There was no family in it. But my grandpa had candy in there. The house was full of candy, a big house full of candy. And he would go to town and bring a truckload of candy, and we'd go and help him carry the candy up in the house and set it in the room. And sometimes there was an open box and we could get a few candies. And one day, one of the older boys came to me and said, hey, would you like to get some candy? And I thought, well, sure, I love candy. Sure. So he said, well, let's go to the house and get some candy. And I said, well, there's a big fence around there. We can't get in. And he said, oh, I know there's a hole. I know where there's a hole in the fence. We can squeeze in. And I said, well, but the house is locked. And then he said, oh, I took the stick out of the window. See, my grandpa had a stick in the window. You couldn't push it up. And he said, when we were carrying stuff in, I took the stick out. And so I thought about it a while. I was, boy, we shouldn't do that, but I really loved candy. I could almost taste the candy, all kinds of candy. So finally I decided, well, let's get some. So one evening when it was dark, we set out and we went over to the hole in the fence and squeezed in. I don't know how, there was a picket missing, and we kind of squeezed ourselves through the hole, went up to the window and pushed and pulled ourselves up in, got in there, and we filled our bag with candy and got over to the window and crawled back out through the fence and went home and hid it in our house. And so there we were with all the candy we can eat for a long time. And next day we went to school. Oh, nobody knew that. Nobody knew. And the next day, about 3 days later, Grandpa came into the school and asked us older boys to come into another room. And he asked us, did you take the candy? He asked each one. I don't know what he all asked the older ones, but when he asked me, I was like, how did he know? How did he know? I mean, it was dark. We put the stick back in the window, and all of it. I couldn't tell. I couldn't figure out how he knew. And I do now. It's these little birdies. These little birdies, and that which hath wings, that told him. And in this case, he knew right away, and I was disciplined. And so, do you have any ideas how he would have known? What does it mean that little birdies told him? Nope. I'll tell you how he knew. He saw it in my eyeballs. My eyeballs were going, I did it, I did it. My face was ashamed. And I was looking down like that. And I couldn't look at his eyes because I had stolen from him. And so he knew. He saw it right in my eyeballs. They were like flashing lights that said, I did it, I did it. And I was ashamed. And that's what the Bible verse means, that little birdies tell. When you do something, it will always come out. Someone will find out. And the lesson that I learned was God sees everything. And because He loves us, He has made a way for us to make our wrongs right. And so He put a lot of those things in place that it comes out. People find out so that you can make it right. But I was very foolish. I should have gone to my daddy right when the boy came and asked me if I want candy. And the best thing to do there is to go to your daddy and say, that doesn't feel right. Is that right? And so, but if you do it, if you think you can do something and no one will ever know, it's not possible, because the Bible says that little birdies tell. And that means that it will always be found out. And so, because your eyes and your face tell what's on the inside. So, let's sing the song, Oh Be Careful Little Eyes, What You See. We'll go first, eyes, hand, and feet.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a father up
Okay, can we try an African greeting this morning? Is everybody game to do an African greeting this morning? Okay, so I'm going to say good morning, children, and you're all going to say good morning, Brother Steve. Can we do that? Nice and loud. Good morning, children.
Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning. That's beautiful. Okay. Okay, how many of you would like it if I gave permission this morning for you to talk during children's lesson? Anybody? Okay, then in that case, you'll have to wait to answer my questions till I ask them instead of jumping the answer out. Okay? Can somebody tell me about last week's children's lesson? What was last week's children's lesson? Brother Mike shared. And he gave a choice of two children's lessons. Anybody yet? Raise your hand when you think of it. Okay, go ahead. A story. Okay, and what was the story about? Do you remember, James? No? A story from his life, okay. And what did he do in his life? He stole candy. Remember that? The story about stealing candy? Do you remember that? Okay, well, this week's children's lesson is also going to be about a sin. It's a sneaky sin, though. It's a sin that often goes unconfessed. And it's a sin that children can fall into. And it's a sin you're better off to put aside. To learn how to put it aside, even as children. But it's also a sin that adults can fall into. And in fact, it's such a sneaky sin that as I was doing the children's lesson, as I was preparing, I realized I've had a lot of this sin in my own life. So it's a pretty sneaky sin. Okay? The world is full of this sin. And you need to be on guard against it. Okay, so now what you're going to do is you're going to guess what the sin is. And I have some friends and they're going to help me illustrate the sin. Okay? But you're going to need to use your imagination. If you remember the last time that I came up here, I asked you to use your imagination a little bit. Do you remember that? Okay, well this time I want you to use your imagination too. Everybody paying attention here? Everybody? Okay. I want you to imagine that this platform here is a huge pile of stuff. Can you imagine that? There's all kinds of stuff in there. And if you look down in over there, well, there's a fancy sewing machine down in there. Okay? And if you look over here, over there, there's a chainsaw sticking out. Okay? And right back there is a really nice game, the one everybody wants, that nice game that's sticking out over there. Okay? So this is a huge pile of stuff. There's all kinds of clothes in here. There's all kinds of food in here. It's just a huge pile of stuff. Okay? Everybody understand what it is? Okay, well, I'm going to sit up on this pile of stuff. I'm going to get up here. Now, these are some things that are... I just thought I'd help illustrate the stuff here. There's a really nice coat. Okay? And here's a box of crackers. Oh my. This is a really nice filled out quarter collection. Okay, up until 2005 anyway. Okay, nice pile of stuff we got here. There's a nice drill. Okay, this is just the stuff sticking out on the top of the pile. Everybody understand? Okay. So there. Oh, here's a little dolly. Okay, a little dolly sticking out on the top of the stuff pile. And, oh, here's a hammer. Okay, so here I am. I'm going to sit on top of this pile of stuff. Okay. Wow, this feels pretty good to sit up on my pile of stuff, doesn't it? Now let's see what happens. Now, sometimes this sin causes someone to walk by with something better than I have, and I decide I want it. Hey, I'd like that. Okay, look at that. Now I got something better than what I had before, see? Okay? You see how this sin makes you, it makes you desire even more than what you had before. Okay? And, I just have this crummy little doll here. It's just a little doll, and its hair is all kind of fuzzy and everything. There's a much nicer doll. Hey, I'd like that. Okay, now I'm really getting a big pile of stuff here. Okay, now sometimes this sin walks by with something worse than what I have. Okay? And I'd like that, too. Remember my nice quarter collection here, you know? I got a nice quarter collection. Look, this guy here, he's just got a few quarters. He's dropping them all over the place. But I got the whole collection. But I still want those quarters, you know. Hey, what do you got there? Oh, my. Hey, can I have them? Oh, look at that. Okay. And now, you know, and here's my coat. Now, did you see this coat? My mother bought me this coat when I was about 18 years old. I still have it. But, hey, I like that coat, too. Can I have that coat? See, sometimes this sin likes things that are better than what it has, and sometimes you like things that aren't even as good as what you already have. Okay? Now, I'm going to need an assistant for the next one. Can somebody volunteer to help me here? One of you boys? Chris, come on. No. I'm sorry, Josh, come. Thinking your mom. Okay, Josh is going to help me. Now, come here, Josh. You know, these guys are going to get tired of me taking all their stuff, so I need you to run him down this time, because he probably won't come over and give it to me. So sometimes this sin even causes you to ask for a helper, to run somebody down. Okay? Now, see, now here, all I have is this little 12-volt drill there, but I'm seeing a much nicer drill. Hey, go run him down and get that. There. Ah, now look what I got. See? Okay, thanks. Okay. The other thing about this sin is sometimes somebody else might have a need. Okay? Oh, that one. Yeah. Sometimes people have things I don't even have. See, I don't even have one of those. And I gotta have it. Because I don't even have one. You know? So, but now I've really accumulated a bunch of stuff here. Isn't that great? Now I must be really happy. Don't you think I'd be really happy sitting on my pile of stuff? But you know, the sad thing is sometimes someone else has a need. And if I'm in this sin, I don't even want to see that need. Okay? I don't even want to know anything about that need. I don't even want to know anything about it. Oh, my, look at all my nice stuff here. I'm really happy with all my good stuff. Ooh, this is a nice drill I picked up here. Well, okay, so that's our lesson Did you guess what the sin is? How many have a guess for what the sin is? Okay, that's pretty good. There's somebody that doesn't have a guess for what the sin is. Let's see. Okay, Daisy, you want to tell me what you think it is? Go ahead. Okay, somebody else? Go ahead, Diane.
Selfishness.
Selfishness? Okay, there's another word I'm looking for too. Lust? That's right, I thought of that. In James, we heard about lust, didn't we? And lust, when it has conceived, brings forth sin. And this is a lust. This is a particular lust. I'm looking for a particular word. Anybody else? Go ahead. Covetousness. That's right. Covetousness. Isn't that the sin that I was talking about right here? It's a sin. And you know what the word covetous means? It means an inordinate desire for more. And isn't that what I had? No matter what I had perfectly good things, didn't I? But I had to have more. Did you see that? I just wanted to have more. And that's covetousness. That's what covetousness is in our heart. And when I started to realize that, I started to realize, my, that is a sneaky sin. And you know, it can happen even for children. And my advice is to deal with that sin even now as little children. We don't want to grow up with covetous hearts, do we? Because it gets worse the older you get if you haven't dealt with that sin at the beginning. All right, now I have two passages of Scripture I'd like to read. I didn't even practice this. I don't know. Timothy. Can you quote 1 Timothy 6:6 for us? Can you quote it? Say it. Okay, he won't. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. And you know, that's what God is calling, is, hey, He gives us a little pile of stuff to sit on. We just need to be content with what God has given. Don't you agree? Okay, let me read you a passage here out of the Gospel of Luke, and it's in chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Do you see what he had in his heart? He had covetousness in his heart, didn't he? His brother had something and he wanted it too. Just like all those things that came by. Speak to my brother that he would divide his inheritance with me. He actually wanted Jesus to help him with his covetousness. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's not the abundance of the things that you sit on that makes up your life, is it? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Remember the parable? The man planted and he got a lot of harvest. And he had some barns to put his harvest into. And he said, What should I do with all this harvest? It won't fit in my barns. And do you remember what the man did? Anybody? What did he do? What? He tore down the barns and he built bigger barns. And then he said unto himself, Unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he a fool that lays up treasure toward himself, that is covetous to have all the things that he lays his eyes on. That man is a fool. And may I say also, that child is a fool. Far better if when Brother Steve had come out here, I had opened up my box of crackers and shared, right? And when Brother Nolan had come out, I had just blessed him and let him go on his way with what I had. And when Brother Jeremy came out, if I'd have just let him go on his way with what he had, wouldn't that have been far better than having to accumulate all of those things? Did you children see the look he gave me? The different ones of them kind of scowled at me because I had to have what they had. Did you see that? So let's not be a covetous people, okay? Everybody remember the lesson now? We talked about the sin of what? Covetousness. Okay, let's say it out loud. We talked about the sin of?
Covetousness.
And is it something we want to be involved in?
No.
So next week when Brother Steve has the children's lesson and he asks you, what was it about this week? What will you say?
Covetousness.
Right. And that is also a sin of lust and desire. And somebody said selfishness. And that is selfishness, isn't it? To be covetous is selfishness, isn't it? Okay, well, why don't we say a prayer while you children think about that? And maybe there's things that you've been covetous about, and you could lay those things aside. Maybe you even need to speak to your parents and say that I've been desiring something and I shouldn't be. Okay? But let's say a prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to place in the children's hearts these lessons. And may these lessons be carried with them through their lives, Father, that they truly would be able to fulfill the desire, the plan that you have given for each one of these children, Lord, that we could lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. Father, bless these children as they go back to their parents. We look to you and ask for your blessing on the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you.
Who remembers what the children's lesson was last week? Boy, your hands were up before I even asked the question. That's great. Okay, yes. Covetousness. Okay, well, who can tell me a little bit about the lesson last week? What did you learn from that?
You shouldn't want other people's things.
Okay, you shouldn't want other people's things. That's good. Anybody else? Stephen. What? Being content with your things, yes. Not being selfish. Not wanting what other people have. Being willing to share your things. Well, today I'm going to talk about kind of the same subject, but we're going to look at it from a different angle, from a different side. So I want to read a couple verses, first of all, out of the Bible. Romans chapter 12. Verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Okay, and then there's another verse I want to read. It's in Philippians chapter 2. It says, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself." Better than themselves. So what I want to talk today about is esteeming others and preferring others, even above yourself. Now, maybe you don't know what the word prefer means, you know, like you would prefer something over something else. But like if you had a chocolate cake and an apple pie and you had your choice of which one you would like, which one would you prefer?
Apple pie.
Apple pie. What about? Okay, chocolate cake. It's your choice. It's what you prefer above the other. Maybe, you know, you like one thing better than the other. And to prefer others above yourself means that you want to bless them even at the expense of your own happiness or your own fun that you might have. So preferring others and esteeming others is very important. It's like a foundation of a building. It's like building on just having a real strong foundation in your life. Preferring others. And I'm going to try to build something here. Preferring others and esteeming others is something that God taught us in the Bible in many different places. I read a couple of the verses here this morning out of Romans and out of Philippians. But there's so many more verses that you can read about. Even in when Jesus was talking to some of the people there, he said the two greatest commandments are what? Who can tell me? It's the two greatest commandments. Yes, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, loving your neighbor as yourself is preferring others. Even loving God is preferring God above even your own desire or your own will. And so it's one of the foundation things in our life. And as you children are young right now and you're learning many things, this is one of the things that is very important for you to learn. It's like, how many of you remember when you first learned how to walk? Does anybody remember when you first learned how to walk? Your first steps? No, you don't remember that. What about when you learned how to speak English? Do you remember that? No, I don't remember when I learned how to speak English either, but I tried to learn another language, and it was very difficult to learn that later on in life. For me to learn English was very easy. I didn't, you know, my parents just taught me, or they were just speaking, and I just learned English just like the rest of you. But when I tried to learn another language, it was very difficult. And it's the same way with esteeming others and preferring others. If you learn it now in your life, where you're preferring others above yourself, it's going to be very easy for you throughout your whole life to prefer others. And your life will be blessed in that way. But if you have a hard time preferring others in this right now, and you try to learn it later on, it's going to be difficult. Let's see here. Let me give you an example of what it means to prefer others. It's trying to make someone happy, even at your own cost, or your own happiness, or your own fun. It's trying to please others instead of pleasing yourself. I want to explain what I'm doing here. This I'm building a little. I'm not even sure what it is, but I'm building with my blocks. And I'm having fun building my blocks. I really like building these blocks. You know, I'm having such a good time. And maybe I'm you in your house, and you're playing and you're building your blocks, and your little brother wakes up from his nap. Who wants to be my little brother today? Who wants to help me with this and be my little brother? Okay. Okay, why don't you help me, okay? Why don't you stand over here? I didn't know who I was going to pick, so I brought this stool. Now, I have a choice to make. My little brother is waking up from his nap, and he's coming to help me, or he's coming to see what I'm doing. And I'm the big brother, and I've been playing with my blocks and just having a good time. And I have a choice to make. I can either, you know, my little brother comes and he wants to mess up my thing, and I think, oh no, you know, stay away, don't touch this, it's going to fall over if you touch it. I can either do it like that and say, this is my project, don't touch this, or I can say, hey, my little brother, would you help me build these blocks? You know, if it falls over, it doesn't matter, let's just play and have a good time together, okay? So you can help, all right? Just help build this thing. I'm not doing a great job anyway, so you can help me. So this is preferring others. See, I could get angry at my little brother and call mommy and tell her, oh, my little brother's trying to mess up my things. Or I can just, hey, little brother, can you help me? And let's have fun together. And it doesn't matter what I've been building. It can fall over. If it falls over, don't worry about it. And we can have a good time, the two of us together. See, I can choose to keep all the fun myself and make his day miserable, or I can just be happy that he's building and doing a good job here. When you're fighting over things, how many of you fight over your toys sometimes with your brothers and sisters? Does anybody do that? Okay, I see a few hands. When you're fighting over things, that means that you like the things more than the person you're fighting with. That the things are more important than that person. And that's not good, because people are more important than things. I want you to remember that. Let's say that together, everybody. People are more important than things. Say it again. People are more important than things. When my children were young, all my children are grown now, but when my children were young, sometimes they would be fighting over things. And sometimes we would take those things and throw them in the fire and let them just burn up. Maybe a little doll or some blocks or something. We'd just throw them in the fire because we wanted to teach our children that people are more important than things. Their brothers and sisters are more important than their toys. So how many of you believe me that people are more important than things? Hey, look at all those hands. Then, okay, let me ask you this question. Then why do you fight over your toys and your things? If you believe me that people are more important than things, then why do you fight over these things? Why don't you just play together and have a good time together? Boy, you're doing a good job. Look at that. Whew. You know, my children, I was telling you about my children. My children, when they were small, they used to fight over some things. And they used to have some nice things, you know, some dolls and some toys and trucks and things like that. Now my children are all grown. And where are those things now? They don't have those things now. They're not important to them. And someday, the things that you have, someday, these things that you have are not going to be all that important to you. Okay, boy, you're doing a good job. Why don't you can sit down. That's great. Thank you for helping me, little brother. I want you to listen to me, okay? The things that my children had when they were young, those things are long gone. They'll never see them again, and they're not even important to them again. And it's the same way with you. Your things will someday, you'll get bigger, and they won't be important. But now you're fighting over them, and it's not good because things aren't important. But listen to this. My children, they have their brothers and sisters and their friends. There's some children that grow up in life and they're not friends with their brothers and sisters because they've been fighting over things all their life. And they've been doing all those kind of things that cause enemies. And then when they get older, they're not even friends with their brothers and sisters. And it's a terrible thing. So remember, don't fight over your toys. Another thing is when you go, I hope and pray that every one of you will go to heaven, that you'll make it to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you won't find your doll that was so important to you. You won't find your toys and your trucks up there, but you'll see some people that you know, some of the people that were in your home, or maybe all of them that were in your home, I pray. Those are the things that are important. That's what God sees as important, are people, not things. It's a good lesson for all of us. The people of this world, they fight over things all the time. People are fighting over things. War, that's what war is all about. But God has a better way. Jesus has a better way. And that's preferring others above ourselves. It's a much better way than the way the world does it. Another example is maybe your mother. Maybe your mother is ironing clothes, okay? Well, I hope we don't knock this thing over, but maybe we will. Then somebody will have to help me pick it up. Maybe your mother is ironing clothes, and the baby wakes up. The baby's starting to cry. and mom's been busy all day long. She's been had a busy day. And now you're just finishing your school. And the outside is very nice. It's very sunny and warm, and it's a nice spring day. And mom's ironing the clothes, the baby's waking up, and you're finishing your school, and you want to go play outside on the swing or on your bicycle. Maybe you just got a new bicycle even. And you think, wow, I'm going to go outside and play. But then you think about preferring others. What do you think you should do instead of... What do you think you should do to prefer others in that situation? Okay, you can go and get the baby for mom instead of going outside and playing. What a wonderful thing. That would be preferring others. Even though it might cost you a little bit of fun and excitement outside, but it's so much better to help someone. What's another thing that you could do for mom? If she was ironing, what could you do? Some of you bigger girls, or even the boys, yeah. You could go help her iron, or you could go iron for her so that she can go and take care of the baby. That's preferring others. Maybe your sister is doing dishes. It's her night to do the dishes. And you want to go after supper. You want to go out and play in the tree fort. And it's your sister's night to do dishes. But then you think, wow, I'd like to prefer my sister. What would you do to prefer others in that case? Go wash the dishes for her. What else could you do? Yes. Help her with the dishes. And then you can both go out and play. Right? That's preferring others instead of just thinking of yourself. You can go and prefer others. Maybe you're sitting in the living room and you have company come over and you're sitting in the chair where you usually sit in and your company comes over. What could you do to prefer others in that case? Let's see. Somebody who haven't picked. Yes. Yes, let them sit in your chair. Let them sit in that chair. Maybe there's you're going to the store and there's an old man and he's walking towards the door and he has a cane. What could you do to prefer him when you're doing that? Yes. You could run over there and open the door for him. Yes. What a wonderful thing to prefer others instead of thinking of ourselves all the time. Well, I think you understand the lesson today. It's a very important one. And like I say, it's a very foundational one in your life. And if you learn this in a young age, your life will be blessed. Because it's God's way. It's God's way for us to prefer others and not to be selfish, like we heard about last week. Another thing here would be to be speaking blessings and saying good things to people. Maybe your brother does something and you say, oh, that is such a good thing that you did. And you bless your brother by the words that you speak to him. That's esteeming others, and that's preferring others also. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? Okay, are you going to put it into practice in your life? All right, I hope so. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for these children here and for the families. Lord, I do pray that you would bless them and help them to learn these truths of your word. Lord, I pray that they would see that it's more important, that people are more important than things. And Lord, that they should prefer others, and even at the expense of their own happiness or fun. Lord, help us all as young people and adults here in this room today to also prefer others in everything we do and be part of your way and your kingdom, Lord. And just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, you can go back to your seats and to your parents.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.